this is Jo Tomalin for Fringe Review, and I'm going to be talking to someone this afternoon. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Colleen Hinesley, and my show is That's Not How It Happened.
And what kind of show is it?
It's a solo performance. I'm a comedic storyteller. And this show is really about my life growing up as the youngest of six in a big Irish Catholic family in my parents' Irish pub.
So have you always been a comedic storyteller?
You know, I came to the form relatively recently. About 3 years ago, I started doing it. Before that, I actually was in the corporate world as an executive in the advertising industry. And I felt like, you know what, now's the time, let me try it, and it's sort of been gangbusters ever since.
So where have you performed other than here at the San Francisco Fringe?
My hometown is New York City now, and I started my storytelling career there doing a lot of shows and podcasts that are based out of there. But over the last year, I've actually been in four other Fringe festivals with That's Not How It Happened. I've been to the New York Fringe, Capital Fringe in D.C., Prince Edward Island Fringe up in Canada, and most recently Indie Fringe in Indianapolis.
So you're becoming a serial fringer.
Exactly. I'm a bit addicted, to be honest. It might be a problem.
Well, that is what happens, I think. Do you have plans to go to other fringes this year or next year?
I'm looking into it. You know, this is my last formal appearance date with the show for this year, but I'm actually hoping to book some stuff in Philly, where I have a lot of friends and family in Philadelphia who are not pleased that I have not brought the show to Philadelphia yet.
Would you be thinking of developing a new show or keeping this show?
You know, it's funny. I'm really interested in seeing where this show goes, but I actually have so many ideas for other shows as well. So I'm actually taking a class starting next week to try to develop some new material because I need structure, someone to help me do it, and I'm going to see what comes out of it.
What kind of topics interest you to put on the page and then to put on the stage?
Really, I'm most interested in how the way that we live our lives and the way that we were raised informs the people that we become. And I do think that it's so interesting, with the benefit of hindsight and maturity and experience, you can look back on all those formative things and not only see sometimes the problems that came up, but also see how it prepared you for the life that you're living now. And that's really what I explore a lot in That's Not How It Happened, because crazy childhood leads to crazy adulthood, but then leads to, wow, I can do something different than this.
Thinking about this current show and the fact that you've been to other fringes, has it changed from the first fringe to now?
It has. When I did my first fringe in New York last year, it was more of a stand-up show. It was kind of not quite stand-up comedy, but more of a stand-up storytelling show. I've evolved it into much more of a play. It really has a lot more narrative to it, a lot more consistency to it. And then even through the last four fringes this year, I found so many interesting things as I'm exploring it with an audience and in front of an audience. And even based on audience feedback, it gives me new ideas to try. And the Fringe is a great place to do that. It's a really safe space to try new things.
So have you drawn on different areas of performance skills since the beginning, since it was more stand-up, and now, as you just described?
Yes, and sometimes skills I didn't even know I had, to be honest. A lot more what I would call acting. I'm saying that with a look on my face because I've never been an actor, but there you go. I've also felt free to use my voice a little more. I'm singing more in the show. I'm not a classically trained singer, but I grew up with singers, and this has been an opportunity for me to explore that. And I play a little guitar in the show. Again, I'm not really a trained guitar player, but I muddle through, and it's sort of part of the process. And it's been so great, and the audiences are so with me on it, and they're willing to go along with me and take the ride.
What's the experience in a nutshell for you of performing and being at fringes?
Wow. The major thing is connecting with new people. When I was doing the show in New York, it was so amazing to do it But I should say that I always almost knew everybody in the audience. So it was almost like performing in front of my friends and family all the time. Coming on the road and doing it with people who don't know me and I've never met before has been so thrilling. And I've gotten such warm welcomes from people. And it's really helped me understand that what I'm doing actually matters. And it's something that really helps me connect to people and gives me and the people that I connect with a great feeling of being through an experience together. And that's been the most important thing for me.
You mentioned that this performance has become more of a play. How has the crafting or the writing changed to accommodate that?
I really had to get in touch with intention. Why am I doing this? Why am I going from one story to another? And one of the things that really helped me was asking for help. I actually hired a director for this run of the show, which I had never done before. I didn't even know that was an option until somebody recommended it to me, and I'm so thrilled. Rachel Eckerling is my director. She's based out of New York, and she really helped me to think about why did this happen? Why are you going from this story to that story? Why are you moving? Why are you sitting down right now? And it never occurred to me to ask those questions. I'm sitting because I just felt like sitting, but there actually is a reason. So that was a real journey for me to go on to get more intentional about the choices that I'm making.
How about the different spaces? Because as we know, all performance spaces are different and vary. And at fringe festivals, they vary even more.
They do.
How do you manage doing the same show in different size or different areas and spaces?
Really, for me, the key is flexibility. I've had to really make sure that I'm really clear on what my must-haves are for myself, and then everything else, keep it as simple as possible so that it's translatable. I've done shows in beautiful theater spaces like the one here in San Francisco at the Exit, but also I've been in classrooms and churches. I was in a coffee shop. I was in a dance studio with, you know, ballet dancers just shuffling out right before I'm coming in. So for me, it needs to be the show and the story needs to live independently of where I am. And then all of the other stuff is icing on the cake. If I can have audio, if I can have great lighting, if I can have great staging, that's even better. But it has to live on its own without all that stuff.
So who would be interested in seeing your show? What kind of audiences do you have and do you seek?
You know, it really runs the gamut, but I have to say, what I'm so thrilled about is people who have seen the show have all said to me things like, wow, me too, I feel that way too, because they may not necessarily connect to growing up in a big family, or they might. They might not necessarily connect to growing up in an Irish pub, although I met somebody who did. But they all connect to that feeling of, who am I? Do I belong? Growing up in sort of a making comedy out of tragedy, making something out of nothing, making art. So really, to answer the question even more succinctly, it's for everybody. Anybody who wants to laugh, to think, maybe cry a little, but not too much, I think mine's the show for you.
Thank you so much for spending the time to talk and taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you so much, Joe.